Hey, Dave here from the Breakfast with Manny podcast, which comes from when my co-host Emmanuel, also known as Manny, and I used to meet regularly for breakfast. When we were discussing the shifting landscape of manhood, mostly by sharing our experiences and our struggles, as well as my coaching courses and my entrepreneurial experience, we realized many men could benefit from discussing these topics. So Breakfast with Manny is going to explore the unseen patterns that sabotage men from realizing their potential, healing, and getting the life, sex, career, and health they want, leading to a healthy masculine life. Hey, everyone. Hey, Manny. How you doing, bud?
Hey, what's up, brother? I'm good. You?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to today's kind of our 12th and final episode in the first installment. So, you know, we can claim we're amateurs for one more episode.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're cool.
Yeah.
Again, Dave Rosenberg here. I'm a host of the Breakfast with Manny with my co-host, Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. Cool. As I told you before, I think it's great that we're launching kind of like our first series.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For those who are still not familiar, this is the first video you're seeing. Goal of this is just, it's a conversation between two dudes.
Yeah.
Basically it. And we talk about a lot of things that affect everyone, including men in the world. So, yeah. Today you have a bunch of really cool topics, I think. So.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I think the first thing, you know, one of our taglines, as you probably saw in our logo, is exploring healthy masculinity. And again, for those of you who don't watch or it's your first episode, a lot of the talk in the world around toxic masculinity, which we'd rather focus on kind of the good stuff. And, is you know, what is that? What does it look like? Those kinds of things. And today's going to be that pretty exclusively. And I'm kind of, you know, coming into this one, I was kind of thinking about, what does the world want from men or need from men? And I talked to a buddy in Vancouver, and he was like, you know, I was with a bunch of guys, and, you know, middle-aged guy. And he's like, I know my girlfriend like mentioned the patriarchy and I didn't know what to say. And I mean, I don't have a lot of words of wisdom on that, but I will say this, like that discomfort, I've heard this before. I've heard it from people, youngest guy I've heard it from was 17, oldest guy, you know, whatever, 75. But this discomfort with it all, right? This yuckiness around, mm-hmm. like, and I guess the question I have is, man, and actually, I like, let's jump right into you. I want to hear what you think, because I know what you probably think, but what some people that have been hurt by the patriarchy, like, my question would be, and let's be honest, I'm a middle-aged white person who, you know, like, I was definitely part of it in some way, shape, or form,
yeah.
Knowingly, but because I was part of it, Am I allowed to help get out of it? Am I allowed to help men, like us men, live differently? Like, do we really just have to sit on the sidelines and do nothing, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm curious though, because we do mention a lot the patriarchy out there, and you even said it. But for you, what does that even mean?
Well, the patriarchy is really, you know, when you go back, it's the system where, you know, was created by men to be advantageous for men that was unequal to women. And there's a lot of damage that came from that. And here's my take on this that I think is really important. You cannot forget history when history is like abusive like that and you have problems. Like, you never forget it. But I feel like we don't want to live in the past either. We want to look forward,
mm-hmm.
and we want to be better. So, yeah. What I've seen in the world, which doesn't really work very well, is there is some backlash, you know, going on, and a lot of anger. Like, some guys are really angry and they're like trying to like either bring back the patriarchy, or they're pissed at women and they're like, no, men are now being discriminated against and it's really hard being a man. And it's like, you know, I don't think we should out victim anybody. Like, I think every human being suffers to some degree, some more than others. But at the end of the day, like, let's aim higher. Like, and that's what today's about. I've got some thoughts based on my coaching work and my many years on this planet. Maybe there's some places men can work and think and be open to. And, you know, when we open series two, we're going to get into how exactly to do these kinds of things. But yeah. I'm going to start right away. I'm going to use the word integrity. Like,
for sure.
Integrity has kind of like vanished in a lot of places with a lot of people, and especially men,
mm-hmm.
you know?
No, I totally agree with that statement. The only thing I'm wondering though is, I feel like we use that term way too lightly, and just in any context. People will not say they're patriarchy all the time, and the reality is,
true.
Most men are not the hyper successful millionaire, billionaire, taking all the decisions for everyone. That's just not the reality. I think most men are middle class men, or men that are, you know, making a decent living, wage. and I think we're using this term to want to describe as all men. It's all often this patriarchy and all men. Yeah. I'm not saying this to defend and say men are victim. That's not my objective. Yeah. My goal is just to say, I think we need to reflect before just claiming, you know, the patriarchy. It's like, yes, there's a structure in which most of the men in power are men, but also most of the population that are in jail are men. Most people in war that die are men. And this is all coming, for example, I'm taking the example of Jordan Peterson here, but I think it's important that we also talk about these things. Our goal here, what I think, is we're trying to talk about, you said healthy masculinity. I like the upper masculinity thing, which is when we say we want to help men become better men as well. And you mentioned something about integrity. To me, that's huge.
Well, here's what I'll say, though. Like, a lot of guys will... One of the biggest problems of the modern world, too, is polarized thinking, right? You know, like left, right, blue, red. It's like boom, boom. So when you tell somebody, when you tell a man, like, oh, you need to, like, maybe heal and you need to be kinder, they automatically think you're saying, like, go all the way, like, that way, like, way over there. Yeah. And I think that's one of the problems that goes on. It's also when we talk about... You know, we had a guest on who was talking about lost femininity to some degree. And when she talks to women about maybe, you know, don't lose your feminine, be balanced, you know, of course, have your amazing career and your power and all that, but don't lose the receiving and the nurturing and all those things. I think a lot of women go and they think like, oh, she wants us to go back to the 50s. And like, that's not the point. So the point is, how do you move ahead? How do you move ahead in a better way, right? Where do we go from here? And so what I feel for this like last episode of the first section, I'd like to kind of set the table a little bit. But, you know, I'll give you an example too. Where are we in the world with role models, right? Because a lot of our role models are for some people are like tennis racket breaking, throwing athletes. Some are, you know, you've got the like hyper successful entrepreneurs, but maybe don't treat people all that well. Some people it's just money. Some people it's celebrity, but you know, it's kind of boring to say like, oh, I like having a guy who's got integrity and tells the truth and is moving forward with his passions. But maybe we could look at, are there ways that we could develop role models, you know, for younger men? Like who's the role models right now?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because, you know, one of my kids, like he, God bless him, but he wants to make a lot of money. And his role models are like, for a while, where I remember he was watching some guy play video games who made like millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Which is all good. But, you know, I also hope he develops other things than just his money, right? If you want to grow as a person, it's not about just money. And let's be clear, you heard it here like on episode 12. I'm never going to tell people don't be abundant. That has nothing to do with it. Be abundant. Nothing wrong with it. But don't be abundant by cheating. Don't be abundant by lying. Don't be abundant by being a douche. You know, I actually, there is a good story on this. There's a big golf thing going on where the Saudi Arabians came in to like buy out the tour, PGA Tour. And what's interesting to me, the thing that is really interesting to me, so the commissioner at the time said, he stood up and he goes, these are people that beheaded, you know, Khashoggi, and these are people that human rights violations, and you shouldn't go to this other tour and it's terrible. And then they realize they're going to be out of business because they just had so much money. They could keep them in court forever. What's fascinating to me is when he blew his integrity on this and he backed up and you saw it in his face when he went, like, oh, I had to like cave. He got sick right away. He's like, unfortunately, he's quite ill. And it's, I don't think it's a coincidence. Like, I think it really hurts us when we don't do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. So, but do the right thing's not very sexy, right? It's just like,
sometimes, and it's also, it's, I think, often not easy also. We had that conversation with the past guest also.
Not easy.
So it's not easy to sometimes do these, the right decisions, but I think we should talk about these things. We should make that effort and it will make us better human beings, better men at the end of the day.
For sure, man.
And so it will help everyone around us. If you feel also proud about who you are, about the decisions you make, then I think you inspire people around you too.
Yeah. So, you know, last part of a season, you got to have a cliffhanger. So I mentioned it one other episode, but you and I know, like, I kind of, there's a very interesting procedure that I did to come up with a map for men. And I didn't want to bring it out right away. So that's going to be in the first episode of the next series. But I have a little bit more of my own kind of thoughts around some of the things that will make men feel better, live better, be healthier, make the world a better place. Without, I want to go back to it, without falling into like becoming melted, you know, like melted butter on a hot day. Like, it doesn't mean, that's not what it means. It actually means finding some fierce inner strength, but inner strength to do better things, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to kick it off.
Sure.
How's that? You good? So number one, honesty. Sounds simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you see on the news you have a CEO or you have a guy who cheated on his wife? And we've talked about it earlier. I will talk about my affair in a minute. It's unbelievable how your life changes when you're honest. And a lot of guys just can't do it. They just weasel and cajole and manipulate. And if you can change your life there, massive changes. So I'll give you an example. So my girlfriend of 4 years, the first date, the one thing she asked me, she was pretty inquisitive. She's like, so did you ever cheat on your wife? And I didn't hesitate for one millisecond. I just said, yes, I did. And then I explained what happened. And I explain how I've learned from it, and I explain how I changed, and explain how I would communicate now and never do that or whatever. It was totally fine. And the reason people lie and guys lie is because they think they're going to be rejected.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But I will say this, many women have amazing intuition and they know when you're lying. So again, not to take it too deep, but you know, courage is going to come up in a minute. When I had my affair with my situation, again, I think we talked about it, but it's worth reiterating. I took the victim role. I thought my ex-wife was being a bit harsh at the time. So I was like, oh, screw you. And I kind of ran away. But the thing that was really heartbreaking for me that I did was when I got caught is she didn't, I couldn't be man enough to just go, yeah. I kind of said, oh, well, we just sort of texted and that, like, dude. That's not a man. Like, that's not a man that I want to be. And so I learned a lot from that. And, you know, it would have been a different story. I think she knew too. You could just tell.
Mm-hmm.
She knew. And I should have just like come clean, you know? So honestly, like a lot of guys, you know, they just want to brush over their imperfections. They just want to hide things, you know?
Well, we're saying guys, but like, all part of this. We all do it. And the intention behind the way we do it might be good.
Yeah.
So I might lie because I want to appear better or I don't want to offend someone or whatever, but
yeah.
You're totally right. At the end of the day, and particularly with women, I'm under the impression women respect you more.
Correct.
When you tell the truth. And sometimes they are even shocked.
Yeah.
Maybe their first reaction is to be shocked about the truth, but then they're like, wow, this guy is not afraid to...
Well, we talked about this, and we're going to do a lot on relationships in the future, but the number one thing most women really, really, really need is trust. And if you can tell someone a hard truth, then you can be trusted, right? So like when I did it with my ex-girlfriend, like it was unbelievable how like that vulnerability and that truth led us to a much better start because she knew, wow, this guy doesn't mess around. Like this is, he's going to tell the truth. And I guess I'd say this too. Every time I was scared of telling the truth, it went way better than I ever thought.
Mm.
Way better. So.
And I would even argue that if, for example, that woman would have said, well, screw you, you still cheated. Yeah. Then I'm sure you'd feel probably better in that truth than lying and then having to cover up your lie for the next months and having it here.
Feel it.
You can feel it. Exactly.
It's a squishy thing.
Exactly. Meeting with other people, your friend, she's there. And then they start talking about the past and you're there stressing. Exactly.
You get caught. Yeah.
Yeah. And we often accumulate, I feel like, those lies.
Yeah.
So I listen, if she's not happy, if she doesn't like it, then it's part of their past. It is, at least you were truthful.
But you nailed something. Like, it's funny. I swear Manny did not see this, but the next thing on my list is internal validation. And so you just nailed exactly that topic, which is so important, which is do the right thing for you, regardless of the outcome. So the thing was, I needed to be honest for me with this woman, right?
Yep.
And if that was too much for her, that's fine. But I still get to be the person I want to be, right? So often we do things for other people. So one of the biggest things that comes up, and I'm big on this, like this one really hits me a lot. I for whatever reasons of my past, I think a lot of guys, like I look to women for a lot of validation.
Mm.
And that's kind of shitty because you're giving your power away in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I just want to be internally validating. Like, did I show up today in the world the way I want it to be? And if I didn't, what am I going to do differently tomorrow? right? So unfortunately, you know, we do live in a world, I get it. Like, I like clicks, or I don't really do social media, but clicks, it would be kind of fun. You know, it's fun to have people tell you did great. It is great. But it's also important to have the balance of the internal validation. And that's a really important point for everybody to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, man.
Yeah, I like that. I like that point. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do it for you. Do it for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one, passion. So I think passion's a big one. I think a lot of us, and again, this is a show, our podcast is about exploring healthy masculinity. It's mostly for guys, which is fine. I think passion's missing in a lot of guys I meet. And I know sometimes when it's missing out of me, that energy's not there, right? Like that. I think a lot of us are overwhelmed, a bit beaten down and grinding.
Yeah.
And instead of that, like, man, like...
That hungriness, you know, that...
Let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And why do you think that is, though?
Because
I do see it as well. I do see it. Yeah. I feel like I'm speaking here as what I see as a man observing other men. Yeah. I do also sense that we're... Yeah.
A little mesh.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything's like... And I'm including myself in this, right? Yeah. I think we're all part of this, but... Yeah, we need some of that passion. Maybe some of that passion comes from, again, having that sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Having that sense of purpose. But then again, not everyone knows what they want to do in this life. Because when you're driven, when you know exactly what you need to do, then it usually pushes you to...
You're on mission.
You're on a mission. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like as men, we need to be on
missions. But your missions will change, right?
Right.
Like, they'll change. But here's what's important. I think the answer to your question is most of us don't spend much time inside ourselves. Like... Truly getting to know who we are. What do we really want? Because to be honest, the powerful patterns of society, like, you know, I can't tell you how many PhDs came to my other company, my medical company, PhDs, you know, and they're like, we want to be a medical writer. I'm like, but you have a PhD? Like, well, what? And they're like, oh, my parents wanted me to be a PhD, right? So for various reasons, whether it's status, whether it's money, whether it's whatever, and look, easy for me to say, like, don't worry about money, follow your passion. I think you can do both. Maybe you have a job where you take care of your monetary needs, but you follow your passion on the weekend. But I will say this, when I meet a guy who's like on fire, who's got it, who's doing something, it's a different feeling.
That shit is contagious.
It's contagious. I think a lot of women are attracted to that. I think other men are attracted to that energy. And like, so really at the end of the day, it's again, you go back to being internally validating and internally aware. Now you start to connect with, well, what, like, I've had some coaching clients, like, they get frustrated. They're like, I don't know my purpose. And I said, well, maybe your purpose is to find your purpose, right? Like, just, you know, chill with it. Let it come to you, you know? But for me, like, you know, actually, this is a good chance for a bit of a story, but running my other business, like, I've had friends, you know, if I did some things right, arguably 5 more years, 6 more years and retire, right? And I love that business, but that business is in other hands and in better hands now, which is great. I wanted to hire someone to run it. But I didn't want to just grind it out for 5 more years. Like, the thought of that is really, really difficult. And I think it brings me, I'm going to go out of my order, but I'm going to go to courage. And courage, I really love. Now, Osho, we've talked about him before. He's written some crazy good books. Has a terrible Netflix. There's a Netflix about him where he just looks a little bit odd. Forget the Netflix. Read the books.
But the book, so what happened?
Oh, I just orgies and like, you know. Oh, really? Yeah, it's pretty wild. It is what it is. But his writings, you read his writings, they're unbelievable.
Okay.
And when he talks about courage, he says, listen, if you want to feel fully alive, if you want to live, really live, you need to do the unknown. You need to be willing to step into the unknown. And that's where I think the courage to look inside is so important.
Yeah.
And the word courage comes from the French word cœur, which is like the heart, right?
Right.
Courage actually means to live with heart.
Yeah.
But so many of us live here in the mind, right?
But you also, with courage, you also mentioned there is something about like a line. To me, I see it also as like your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy for us to live in our comfort zone. And for myself, at least, whenever I'm pushing the limit, whenever I get out, is when I feel the most alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I mentioned I've been to a couple of Tony Robbins and, you know, again, saw some great stuff, saw some stuff that was a little different. But one thing that he did say is like people really enjoy there's nothing people enjoy more than growing, right? Mm-hmm. It's true. Like having the courage to try something new, and when you master it, like, you know how good that feels?
Yeah.
But we're programmed for safety. We kind of retreat. But I think, you know, there's a couple of quotes I brought actually from Osho that I thought were pretty interesting about courage. One of them is I thought was kind of interesting, is to be miserable is easy. Any fool can do it. To be blissful takes courage. It is an uphill task. A miserable person never accepts responsibility. So, you know, we've been talking about victimhood a lot and all that. There you go, right there, right? So a man becomes really a man. He's talking men in this case. A man really becomes a man, or a person really becomes a person, when he or she or they take total responsibility for whatever their life becomes. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where courage comes in, because it is easy to be afraid. But courage isn't a lack of fear. Courage is moving through fear. I'm doing it anyway, right? And that's one thing I will say, like, I feel like I'm as afraid or more afraid than most people. Like, I am really inside a terrified human being. The one thing I've sort of been able to get over is to be able to do shit anyway. So I did start my own company. Like, I think I sucked at a lot of it. I think I screwed up a lot of it, but I still did it, you know? And now this podcast, like,
I'm curious. I don't think we ever talked about the why did you, I guess probably financial reasons as well, but why did you, what got you that drive to actually build your own business? Cause it's a lot of people talk about these things, but we don't necessarily understand the reasons.
Yeah, it's a good question. Entrepreneurship's a weird thing. Like, it's kind of, it's not for the faint of heart. I know why not everybody does it. It's a lot of sleepless nights. It's a lot of stress. If I were to give you my true answer on that, I think it's because I enjoy stress and chaos because of my childhood. That's kind of what I'm trained for. And 9 to 5, like, I just don't thrive. I get bored. I think it's just that I get bored really easily.
Yeah.
So I'm your typical entrepreneur, right? A little bit ADHD, a little bit like visionary, a little bit scattered, or maybe a lot scattered. Like my new COO, who I love her to death, like, hey, Tanya, she calls me the squirrel. Calls me the squirrel sometimes because I'm like looking around.
Yeah.
But you know, to be fair, I think a lot of our nervous systems, like for people like me or many people that have had trauma, like, you know, squirrels shake, you know, sometimes I can be a little shaky. Yeah. Yeah.
But so, at the same time, that allowed you, when you started to kind of like grow your business, to always, to always work, I guess, to accomplish things within your business. I mean, it's not easy, particularly here in Canada. Most businesses actually fail. You've been,
they do.
Are you on more than 10 years or?
I'm 11, 12 years. So yeah, like, you know, arguably that's rare. I still feel like a complete and utter imposter and failure a lot of the time. I think what I'm good at, I'm really good at, but running a business, I don't think I'm great at it. Like, I just don't think I am.
Well, you did it, but
I did
but
it.
But now you said it's in great hands, which is cool that you accept and know that, but you still made it 11 years. So, well, I think that's being hard.
I think one of the greater courages I had, which I talked about with Tanya and other people, was I had the courage to take myself off the field in my entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I realized that I wasn't going to be the one to take this company further, which happens a lot. The thing that's interesting for me is my pattern, because of my childhood stuff. I'm very quick to just smack myself as, you know, kind of like, oh, I suck and I do this.
You just did it.
Yeah, I did it.
You
right.
just did
I
it.
I did it now.
You just did it right
now. Yeah. So, but fear and that kind of thing can be motivating, right?
Yeah.
So the reason I want to do this podcast and do my coaching work is because it comes from more here. And I'm not afraid of it. It's not about fear. It's about service, right? So I'm hopeful that that'll
come. You're probably helping other people that are listening to this as well, and probably identifying. They're like, oh, like, you know. And you mentioned something there, and it made me think of ego, the fact that you said you were ready to step out and let someone take the business to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me think of professional athletes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it in hockey. I'm very familiar with football, soccer, for those who are in Canada.
Sure. Yeah.
But you've had players who have taken, I think, longer than they should have to retire.
Yeah.
Affecting the rest of the team because of them not accepting that it's time to go.
Good point.
You know, and so I think it's interesting the fact that, and it took some time though, because I remember we've been going for breakfast.
Took a long time.
And you talked about it for a while, but finally you were like, you know what, I think it's time to.
Well, I had to ask the question, like, here's one for you. Like, I had to ask the question, who am I when I'm not a CEO, right? because being a CEO sounds kind of cool. Like I think kind of, you know, no, like yeah, it does when you're dating, cool. You know, you tell a girl like, oh, I'm a CEO, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, you know, sounds cool, but it's an identity, right? It's, yeah. It's not the core of my humanness. But we all have roles we take. But, you know, these guys that you're talking about that can't leave the field very well, they just aren't ready to let that identity go. Like, it's kind of awkward sometimes. We've seen some bad cases of that. Mm-hmm. But I don't blame them. And I think, you know, ego is a big, big topic for the second part of our next part of our what we're doing. But the ego stuff, like, it's so important to understand what's a healthy ego, what's unhealthy ego. You know, when we want to kill the guy in front of us for cutting us off, that's clearly our ego, you know, and how can we develop a more healthy relationship with our ego? There's some talk of like blowing your ego out, you know, like getting rid of it, but we're human. Like, you have one and you might as well get along with it. Right.
One of my favorite quotes is actually, ego is the enemy. But with that said, realistically speaking, am I able to not have an ego? Like, I think it'd be really, like, no, probably way too difficult.
Well, here's what's your ego's function? Do you know?
Protecting myself, right? It's
probably so protection. Without an ego, if you had no ego, you'd have no protection, no boundaries, no nothing, which isn't healthy. What we're seeing in the world today, though, is like an overabundance of ego, right? You know, defensiveness, attacking, you know, all the hallmarks of what's going on in the world. So we will talk about one of the other categories would be having a healthy relationship with your ego would be really important for people. Mm-hmm. Presence is a big one.
Mm. Wow.
I struggle with that because I'm like a squirrel, as I said earlier. So, you know, I jittery, but man, like when I go out with someone and I put my phone on the table face down, in airplane mode, and I'm there, man, magic happens.
The moments are rare today. I feel like we're always thinking of other things. Maybe technology also in our cell phones makes us just, you know, very, very twitchy. Our attention, exactly. Yeah. Span is really bad.
Yeah.
Love that example of putting your phone down, talking to someone. It just be there. Feels different.
It's different. And I watch people a lot, obviously, as a observer of people. I watch and I see a lot of couples like out for dinner, both on their phone. Like, one's on their phone. What does the other one do?
Yeah.
Picks up their phone.
Yeah.
They are not connected at all. But, you know, the other thing I would say, when it comes to parenting, the number one thing kids need is presence. When kids start freaking out much of the time, it's because the parent is not there, right? Like, not they're there, but not there. And it's just a simple, like, real pure presence. So one of the things that came up in one of my coaching, I had a guy who thought his girlfriend was maybe a bit needy or like he was not good at this. And he grew to learn that the presence that his girlfriend needed was not tons, you know, a good solid half hour of just be with me, really be with me. And I think where presence comes up with men especially is when you have a moment with your woman who is having a tough time and really upset. And a lot of guys, I've seen it, they'll do the old, like, I'll talk to you when you're not fucking crazy, right? And they walk away. That's not good. It's just like, be in the storm, let it be there with it, and just tell me more, whatever. I'm here. And so one of the greatest moments I had in relationships that I had, my ex-girlfriend was very upset about some stuff. And I just sat with her. I was just with her. I actually didn't talk for an hour and a half. Just held her hand. I was just with her. And it brought us very close together. So presence, big one, man. Mm. Big one.
There was also, I think it was Daida who was saying that. And not, yes. not when women are super angry. Because I think you also have to read the room. But sometimes when women are, or the feminine energy, I should say probably, is stressed or is giving you some sort of pushback. Yeah. That being playful.
Be playful, maybe.
Being there and being playful as well as usually helps a lot instead of pulling out the ego side and again, protecting ourselves and then pushing the other person away, which creates again that distance.
You know, I'm glad you said that because the biggest thing I've done that was probably the wrong thing to do, and I think most guys have done this, is defend. Yeah, but the you know, and it's not the time for that. You can defend yourself. It's okay to defend yourself. But at that time, it's just information gathering, presence, love. Give love.
Right. Know? And again, as we know, it's not as easy to do. But the more we do it, the more we're conscious about it. You said it last
it's
time.
It's a skill, right? You get quicker at it, you get better at it, you know. Yeah, like I can give you examples, like dating examples where, like, it's important, again, I'll say it again, like, understand, you see the world differently than she does or he does. If you go for men, that's fine. Like, either way, whatever that is, any relationship between two people, there's two interpretations, right? Mm-hmm. There's two people's interpretations in there. So when you say, like, you may use a word and it may mean something completely different, you know? I need to go on an adventure. And like one of you is thinking of jumping off a cliff and the other one's thinking of like having really weird food. Like it's just a totally different thing, right? So like it's really important in relationships to clarify as well.
Yep.
Clarify and verify everything. Or when you share, you can say, hey, look, like when you did X, this is what I thought. I just want to, like, it's my thought. It has nothing to do with you, but am I right? Do you want to break up? Like it felt like you wanted to break up, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of, that kind of shit.
That's yeah. huge. That's definitely huge. I think yeah. you also mentioned something in one of the episodes about like connection through texting. Like even texting sometimes can be misinterpreted Ooh. More than when you're actually talking Ooh. To the person.
Ooh, no tone so, in text.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look out. Yeah. That can be a problem. Yeah. So some other stuff, one of the other things that's very big in a couple of the writings that we've referenced, like Glover and Dida, that upper masculine, like consistency, right? Mm-hmm. Being consistent is really reassuring to the world. It having a guy who's one way this day, like I've had bosses like that, and it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman, but consistency, the workplace tends to be a little more of a masculine energy anyway. So like when you have inconsistency, people get really rattled. So consistency is another big one. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Mm. Yeah. It's another one I want to mention. Living with some vulnerability and an open heart. And again, it doesn't mean like, it does not mean that you're crying 24/7. And right. it doesn't mean you have an open heart 24/7, but at least you live from your heart sometimes, right?
Have you always been this open about sharing the way you feel about things? Because since, I think in the last probably 5 years, I feel like you've been a lot more open to talk about things. But maybe that's my impression that you've always been like this.
No. I mean, I've always been relatively open, but I've always noticed, like, one of the things in my work that I noticed with my ego, which is very thick and protective, is that I used to spin a story and put a little bit to make me look good, like just a little, just a little, like a bit to make me look good. And I started to notice it probably about 6 years ago, maybe, like this little embellishment thing that I used to do. Which is strictly an insecurity, right?
Right. Just, you know. But, and I think probably I'll do it. Like now that I think of myself, I always create those little end to the stories.
Just whatever, a little, exactly. Just a little like, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah, I played pro hockey or whatever, but did I really? Like I played in a senior league where I got like $50. Like give me a break. Like, no, I really kind of didn't. But, you know, guys do that all the time. Like it is what it is. But you got to forgive yourself and you got to know yourself too, right?
Yeah, so. But... Is there a reason why for the past like 5 years you decided to be more, and it, maybe that's my impression, decide, but you did it, like, I think it showed, and that's something I've struggled about being vulnerable and talking about your own issues. And as you mentioned, it's not talk to someone new and then just start crying and talk about all your vulnerabilities. That's not it.
Yeah.
But it's being able to connect with other people while not being afraid of your insecurities, because we all have insecurities.
That previous thing, I used to call it the emotional garbage dump. Like, you definitely don't want to tell them about, you know, the venereal disease that you caught and, you know, the whatever, you're whatever, like all that stuff. As you get to know people, though, like you do want to connect and be vulnerable. What I would say is that what I realized was that my protection system was costing me relationships pretty much. Mm. And I wasn't being authentic. So authenticity is a big one, right? That's right. Another big one. It's being authentic. And with authenticity comes something that I just learned, and it's sad that I learned it at this age. And dude, please learn it at your age. Do not try your best to not give a fuck what other people think. Who cares? There was a great saying. It's like, what other people think of you is none of your business, right? So like I noticed, like, you know, I would do stuff to like, try to look good or feel good. Again, external validation, right?
Yeah.
Chart your own course. Be firm on your own path. Be open and flexible. But, you know, but in terms of being open, I think we go back to that suffering in silence from one of our earlier episodes. Too many guys just suffer in silence. They don't want to look weak. And it's weak. It is weak to be aggressive. It is weak to lie. It is weak to cheat. It is weak to steal, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weak.
You know, as a... I've put myself a new kind of responsibility with my friends.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Which is to now be open and talk about difficult like things wrong with your friends.
Yeah.
Because for so long, I think we've been, of course, always joking about these things. But there's a moment in which you realize that, oh, not all of your friends are doing phenomenally well. No. Not everyone is happy and flowers. And there's some things that some people need to talk about. And the moments we've had these hard discussions... Man, something, it feels good.
There's
after.
Magic, man.
There's magic. There's more connection, and it feels phenomenal.
I think it's safe to say, look, Manny, we're going to do some Breakfast with Manny getaways. Like, we're going to have groups of men that can get away, and I'll do group coaching with them, and we'll co-facilitate some sort of a getaway. I will say I've done it before. You get 8 to 10 guys in a room, and you start sharing. First of all, again, you're not alone. Second of all, your problems, not that unique. We think we're so uniquely fucked up, but we're kind of not. A lot of the same problems, but we can share and we could really do a lot with that. And, you know, I have a buddy that we go for walks all the time. Like, and the depth of the talks is just different. And the depth's different because we can kind of arrive and just be authentically like, I'm not okay. I'm not doing great today. Right. Whatever. X, Y, and Z. But the act of sharing, men are solution-based a lot, but we don't need a solution. You just need to share. It's unbelievable. If you have a safe relationship to really share deeply, you will feel better.
Right.
Like,
but there's a point. No, I would say there's like a point in which you need to share. For example, I try to be as solution-oriented as I can with things that I realize are not significantly important.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, if you start accumulating too many things and then you never let that kind of like externalize itself, then it becomes that weight that you start carrying. And that's where we see people dealing with other type of...
It could go all the way to, as you know, suicide.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like huge depression and stuff like that. Anyways, again, someone who hasn't lived through depression, so I'm maybe not qualified to talk about the thing, but this is what I see a bit.
Had a guy in our circle, like not a guy I was close to, but a guy, you know, certainly knew him. A friend of a friend who suddenly just, we always knew he drank a lot, but you never know what people have gone through. You never know what they're hiding. And that's where compassion comes in, right? So there's another one, compassion. You never know anyone else's story. It's sort of a trite quote, but it is true. Like, you don't know what someone went through. And you can be very offended easily, which is totally makes sense if someone does you wrong. I get it. But also you can see like, man, like I got to a point with my dad. I was like, man, what happened to you? And then I delved into it a bit and it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. So try to have some compassion.
So you're saying it doesn't excuse what the person might do, but we should look at it with a different eye in terms of trying to understand why.
For us, so we're not hurt. We're not mad. We're not, you know. I have a client who her dad, like really, she had a lot of trouble with. And I know this struggle. The little girl in her is just dying for her dad to say, I'm so sorry. Like, I did you wrong. I wasn't a great father, but he can't do it. And so you kind of have to let it go. If you don't let it go, that's going to eat away at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So. Yeah. So the last thing I'll talk about for today to wrap up where we're going, but I think one of the biggest topics, and it causes a lot of men especially to recoil, two words actually. So self-healing is one. So taking on your own healing, like we've all been through something. We all carry something. And it's funny, I was in traffic today and there was a guy in front of me. I've never seen so much vape smoke in my life. And I started thinking, I'm like, wow, what did this dude go through, right? Because obviously he's anxious. Like, you don't just throw smoke in your lungs for no reason. Like, he's got something going on. Yeah. And I watch people walking stressed with their vapes, or you watch people that get super drunk and use substances. And, it can be incredibly painful. And that's why people do that. But so self-healing, one of the things that's going to come up in the future, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to get into it. And I hope to have callers to even do it with, is start, you know, heal thyself, right? Is to do self-healing. Again, the reaction from a lot of guys is kind of like, oh, self-healing, like sounds kind of airy-fairy or whatever. There's a worse term that's out there though. And it's a very important skill. It's called being self-soothing. But soothe, the word always brings up a baby, right? Mm. Like, who do you soothe? Babies. So people don't like, I don't think people like that term. So we'll have to, I would call it nervous system self-management, maybe. I think we all need to know our nervous systems. I think we all need to know how to manage it better. And, you know, I'm getting better. I get angry pretty quickly. Like, I've, you know, just can get really, I'm hypersensitive. But I can even tell you with some practices, which we'll get into again in the future, you can start to like master your anger and very quickly flip it very quickly and realize, just don't take it personally. It has nothing to do with this person in front of you. It's something to do with your hurts. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at, man. Yeah. What do you think?
No, I think that's really, really interesting. And all these, by the way, these points you brought up is out of a book, or you
kind of like put them together. I pulled them out. Like, some of them are from No More Mr. Nice Guy from Glover. Some are from David Dida. Some are just my own observations. But
and it does. I'm not gonna spoil the thing because we'll talk about the men map eventually. Yeah. But there's so many things there that are gonna be interesting to look at together. And if we can all be a little bit more. Like the examples we gave of being able, again, to be more self-aware, to have compassion, to be passionate.
More honest.
Yeah. A little bit more of that. And I'm sure that will make a huge difference.
It will. I mean, I'll tell you, as I said, you know, some of the women I know, they just keep telling me they are so disappointed. You know, had a guy call. We went on a few dates. We slept together. Found out he was married. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And again, like those are the things that just we can work on. Like, and I think as men start to connect and talk about it more and more and more, imagine if you have a group of guys and you're like, you know, man, I told my girlfriend a really hard truth and it went amazing. I was shocked. Mm. Like, maybe we can start to see some momentum behind that, right?
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, for sure. Talk
about these things.
Cool, man.
Dude, final episode.
Great first section. Look, everybody, you know, as I said, We started this for hopefully the right reasons. Some episodes will probably resonate more than others. We are really going to look to up the creativity, up the guests, up the way we do things. But I put it out there. I wanted to do this not for, again, for like external validation of a whole bunch of clicks. Like, if it goes well, great. Yeah. But just because I feel like it's who I want it to be, and you and I have been talking about it for a long time, I know it's who you want it to be. So that's where we're at.
I think we set it our goal eventually to want to help and influence a lot of people. But to me, just helping one person listen to this and influencing positively is a huge, huge win.
Yeah.
Because I think that's how change happens.
Yeah. And look, it does take time, but I will say this. I personally felt, whatever, it was like, 10 years ago? 10 years ago, I hit a form of rock bottom that caused a lot of shame in me. Like, shame is a tricky, tricky, tricky thing, which we're going to do probably a whole episode on. How do you deal with shame, right? Is really important. Just know that it's possible. Like, the journey is possible out of shame, out of feeling so shit. Right. Mm-hmm. And our mind will tell us, like, no, you're screwed. No, you're fucked. Like, our mind's pretty good at keeping us down. And just know that, like, I don't believe for most people you can do it alone. That's why we're here. So you're not alone. Okay, buddy.
See you guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Next episode.
Okay.
See you. Bye.